You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. As businesses throughout the Valley struggle as a result of COVID-19, many small businesses and entrepreneurs are turning to their local Small Business Development Centers, or SBDCs, for help accessing capital and reimagining their business models. I spoke with Rich Mostert, director of the Valley Community SBDC, and Kelly Bearden, director of the CSU Bakersfield SBDC, about how small businesses in the Valley are meeting this moment. Rich, I'd like to start with you. Can you put into perspective how important small businesses are to the regional economy?
Well, they're important to both the regional and the state and the national economy. We've all heard the statistics that the vast majority of jobs created are created by small businesses. And so understand that, you know, whether it's on a macro level or a micro level, small businesses are the lifeblood of any community. And it is imperative that we do everything in our power during these very trying times to try to help them survive and actually grow and prosper into the future, because they're going to be the answer to our economic troubles down the road.
So what are you hearing for businesses?
Well, you know, it really is a combination of a lot of things. You know, I would hope to not focus on too much of the gloom and doom, but there are some businesses that are really struggling and working hard to maintain their business during these times. And a lot of it is related to their industry type or to conditions affecting their industry type. What we're hoping we can do is help existing businesses maintain their operations, but also work with businesses that are struggling to pivot and try to find different ways to stay in business and maybe alternative strategies or markets to pursue in order to do something different but maintain their traditional business model.
Kelly, maybe you could elaborate on that. What are some examples of ways in which businesses are pivoting or changing their business models to adapt to this moment?
Well, obviously you're seeing it first and foremost with restaurants and dine-in establishments that have been so severely impacted. You see them offering takeout meals, takeout, patio dining, and other things. But it's transitioning just beyond the obvious that you see. So many are looking for new customers. They're looking for different customers. If their customer base is gone for a while, hopefully they can shift maybe some retail portions online. So you're seeing a lot of creativity, and you're seeing a lot of opportunity in the midst of, you know, unprecedented crisis.
I understand that in Kern County, the Kern Recovers, the county's coronavirus relief loan program, is now out of funds. Can you speak to what other resources there are for small businesses in terms of keeping them afloat in these really unprecedented times?
Yeah, the Kern Recovers program was an excellent $25 million program. And it really did a very good job of filling in the blanks for when your federal program, your PPP, your payroll protection program, where it kind of left some people out. For example, the Kern Recovers program, the average loan size made was only $29,000. And on the PPP, it was over $100,000. So it kind of reached down to the smaller businesses in the outlying communities, and they learned some of the things that were different. And there is a potential, you know, in talking with some of the county leaders that they could come back with more funding later, but it is true the $25 million is gone. But they still offer the PPE program for personal protection equipment, and that is continuing as the virus is really kind of surging recently. That's more important than ever to provide that PPE with small businesses. So that is really a very valuable program to those that have customers and also employees that are in contact with the public. Another program that we're really using, and I know Rich has been really one of the leaders in the Valley with this, is the SBA disaster program, the Economic Injury Disaster Program, or the EIDL. And that is the program that is continuing. It's open. It's a little harder to qualify than some of the other payroll-based programs. You have to demonstrate a need that you have a need for that and need working capital for your business. And the loans right now are up to $150,000, and we're seeing them funded very quickly. Were there people that actually told me yesterday that they applied last week, and 2 days later they got approved, and 2 days later they received the funds. And really, as the crisis has come on, you've really heard a lot about the PPP program, but really the low interest rate of 3.75% over 30 years, the EIDL program is really the tool that really can really carry a business for a sustained period of time now that we're through this initial and we're starting to see more closures and more problems down the road.
Rich, maybe you could elaborate on this a bit more. You know, I have heard some examples of businesses that have been able to access capital quite easily, but I've also heard a lot of horror stories and businesses that have just been inundated with red tape and have not been able to access the loans that they needed. Can you give us a sense of what that process has been like for some of the businesses that you work with?
Well, overall, I have to make a preemptive statement and just say that I don't think any of that is intentional. I think a lot of it is a function of the fact that programs were created extremely fast and launched very quickly, and they were a learning process for pretty much every party involved. But one of the issues that we see is that the programs we're talking about, EIDL and PPP, are loan programs where there are qualification criteria and underwriting requirements, where it's not as easy as it sounds in terms of actually applying and then getting the loan. What I have seen the most of are businesses that have applied and the timing takes much longer than they expected, and that's been a more of a serious issue. Most of the applications we've had, probably more than 85%, have actually applied and been approved. So we're not seeing a dramatic amount of declinations due to credit issues or underwriting criteria. We're seeing the problems arise from the delay in getting the funds. And as Kelly alluded to earlier, now that we've had a rebirth of the program under EIDL again, it is moving a lot faster. So we're seeing fewer problems there.
So this is an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it. And Kelly, I'm going to start with you. You know, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know how long it's going to be until our economy goes back to what it once was, or when businesses can operate as they used to. But when that moment comes, I mean, what do you think recovery will look like?
Well, that is a very impossible question to answer. But, you know, what we're recommending individuals do is to take a long-term approach, and it's almost by industry, because there are businesses that continue to thrive, continue to do well. And there are those, by the very nature of larger gatherings and groups and events and a lot of different industries, particularly hospitality, travel, et cetera, that are going to struggle, and they're going to struggle over a longer period of time. But what we're really trying to do is we're really trying to get people to focus on conserving the cash that they have and the resources they have to survive the crisis and to continue to keep yourself in play and to adjust and work your cash flow and work on budget and do all the things that you need to do in your personal lifestyle and your business to sustain it, particularly if you had a very profitable business model to begin with. There's no saying that you can't get back there. We don't know when it's going to be. It could be after there's a vaccine for many businesses, and that could be a longer-term problem of trying to survive while you struggle. And really, we're going to see that coming right now. We're going to see the cash flow issues that start happening and the customers slow to come back. So whereas I can't give you, you know, there's been, as far as some of the failures that you're talking about, as far as statistics go, some of those kind of range from as high as like in the restaurant industry from OpenTable, who's saying potentially 30% of restaurants are going to close, to more recently, we've been seeing numbers somewhere around 10%. So I think right now it's just kind of wild speculation. And I think the advice that I'm giving and Rich is giving is going to be to try to conserve that cash and do what you can to retain your customers that you have and just prepare for a longer period of time to where it's not going to be business as usual.
Rich, are there any other tips or strategies that you are sharing with businesses?
Well, and again, I think Kelly summarized it really well, but I have to say, I think most small business owners are very intelligent people, and they're recognizing that this is not a one and done situation, and that what they have to do is not only adapt and conserve and
really thoroughly manage their cash flow, but they also have to look at where does their business go in the future and what to plan for in the event of another pandemic. What can they do to prevent the problems of shutdowns and or changes in structure, physical or operational, that they have to accommodate? And I'm hoping we can see an evolution of traditional business structures and say, okay, this is our model, and going forward, this should help us at least try to mitigate some of the negative impacts we've received right now. This is unfortunately one of the most painful but very strong learning processes we've all been through in the last, well, in my history in business. So we're hoping to take that, the information we're getting now, and use it to build stronger businesses moving forward, fix the ones that it can survive. And we're working diligently, Kelly and I, to try to get new business startups that are as pandemic proof as they could possibly be, given the stance.
And what does that look like?
Well, it could be how they're physically structured in terms of how they accept clients or deliver products or services. It could be the way they package and present their services. It could be the markets they send to, they deliver to. They may not have an on-site customer base anymore. They may be all virtual or through online platforms. So it really just depends. And we're learning as we go to try to find the best models for people to survive.
Well, I think that's true of everyone. We're figuring this out in real time as we move through this pandemic. So I just want to thank you both for being on the show and for all the work that you're doing to keep these vital and essential small businesses successful and alive in these very strange times. So thank you both.
Well, thank you.